Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's already up to 79 degrees on Friends Plaza in Urbana this morning at 8:50. And time now for our first look at the commodity markets for this Friday morning. We have our pre-opening report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA and the World Ag Outlook Board released its July crop production and WASD reports. Ending stocks, the numbers look like this for 2007-2008 corn. Ending stocks of 1.598 billion bushels. Soybeans, 125 million bushels. For 2008-2009, ending stocks look like this for corn, 833 million bushels, soybeans, 140 million bushels, and wheat, 537 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers in just a few minutes for the opening bell, the Chicago Board of Trade, with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. But before we do that, let's look in on the weekend agricultural weather outlook with Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. First off, I'm going to talk about last night when we had some storms pop up across northern Illinois, some locations picking up excessive rainfall. Mendota picked up over 3.5 inches of rain. Many locations across northern Illinois picking up in excess of an inch. And again, a couple locations better than 2 inches. Earlville, 2.5 inches of rain. So we've already started to see the precipitation, unexpected heavy rain across southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois over parts of the region. Some locations in Wisconsin already with saturated ground and flooded areas picked up radar estimates as much as 6 inches of rain. The forecast for today is little change from that over the last several days. We still favor crop development over the next couple weeks, but some flooding is likely to occur across portions of the Midwest, including Wisconsin. Portions of northern Illinois could see some flooding in areas around river drainage basins. Should not seriously damage crop areas and should only last for a day or two in most areas. No region is expected to become excessively dry during the next 2 weeks, although net drying is likely in many southern locations across the Midwest. High levels of subsoil moisture will continue to support crop development until at least late July, when an increase in rainfall may be necessary for the best possible crop development to continue. There is no well-defined high-pressure ridge over any part of the Corn Belt through the midweek of next week. High-pressure ridge will develop between the 18th and 26th of the month across the plains and the westernmost Corn Belt, and that will help to suppress rainfall, warm the air a little more noticeably in the western Corn Belt. For areas to the south of us, showers and thunderstorms brought rain to around 75% of the southeastern states and around two-thirds of the delta. Rainfall heaviest from central Alabama across central and north-central Georgia into portions of the western Carolinas, eastern South Carolina, and southern North Carolina. Amounts generally between a third to an inch of rain, some local amounts up to 2.5. The extreme amount was reported at Maxton, North Carolina, there where they picked up over 5 inches of rain. Again, the forecast for the south and the southeastern states is for no significant changes over the last couple, the forecast we've talked about over the last couple days, although the southeastern states do look to be a little bit wetter next week. Net drying is expected in the delta and the southeastern states after Monday. Some crop stress likely in the delta, while most southeastern states should continue to see favorable crop development since their subsoil moisture is considered to be adequate. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City September wheat opened at 850, up 1.5. Last trade up 5.5 at the Board of Trade. July wheat opened at 809.5, up 3. Last trade up 3. September 818 unchanged. Last trade up 2.75. December 843, up 3/4. Last trade up 3. July corn 679.75, up 4.25. Last trade up 6.25. September 689, up 2.5. Last trade up 7.25. December 705.25, up 1. Last trade up 7.75. July beans opened at 1618, up 8.5. Last trade up 10.5. August 1601.25, up 3/4. Last trade up 14.5. In September 1593, unchanged. Last trade up 14.75. November at 1589.75, up 2.75. Last trade up 12. July soybean meal opened at 446.40, up 60. Last trade up 180. August 439.50, up 70. Last trade up 120. July soybean oil opened at 65.58, up 13. Last trade up 105. August 64.87, up 25. Last trade up 100. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Let's begin on the soybean side this morning and ask, how bullish do you want to be?
How bullish do you want to be? Well, we have to remember, I mean, you know, we've made some pretty strong forward movement already, and last night we got up to the $16 mark, which is only about 30 cents off the highs, and so, you know, I think you can be real bullish if you want to be. Will we continue? I think we'll see some profit-taking today, but you can't help but be bullish. 300,000 less acres is what they changed on planted acres today, and a half bushel less for yield. That certainly says to me that the USDA is concerned. They don't know exactly where the crop is.
Yeah, and the world-ending stocks down significantly as well, mostly
right,
based off the U.S. numbers. Do you think that there's enough data here that that people will chew on it 24 hours and we come back next week and maybe go for new contract highs?
I think so. That would be what I anticipate, because even though the weather has been pretty favorable to crop conditions, we've still had some pretty strong rains in a lot of places, and there's no doubt that the crop is a long ways behind. If we come in with another crop rating on Monday night that doesn't show any significant improvement in the crop, I certainly think that's in line.
Let's turn our attention to the corn, where yeah, similar to the soybeans, the WASD folks did lower the bushels per acre by 1/2, similar to the beans, and yet crop carryout is up, ending stocks are up. And what do we make of this?
Well, I think when you take it and you tear it all apart, what you look at is you look at the ending stocks number, and most of that is due to some adjustments, you know, on demand for this year, basically. The carry-in number increased. I think one of the significant things is that they, after taking a billion bushels of feed away last month, they actually came back and added 50 million back in. And so just in general, I'd have to say that it certainly is negative at the moment because of the fact that the carryout number is higher than what the average guess was. That's certainly never. Anytime you have growing ending stocks, it puts some pressure onto the marketplace. But I think the fact that they reduced that yield by a half a bushel is real significant, too, because it just hints at what we could be looking at in the August report.
The interesting thing there is where you actually saw some increased demand there was actually in the food, seed, and industrials, minus 65 million bushels there. The feed and the ethanol washed out, which is sort of interesting. They've sort of balanced the two together and end up with the ending stocks of 160 million bushels. When it's all said and done and people chew on this, do we find ourselves range-bound over the next 30 days? And if so, what range?
Well, I think so. And I think that the reality is that I wouldn't be surprised to see a test of the $7 range. If we did a much higher carryout number, I probably would have expected to see an even further test, and just for a very short amount of time. But I think you've got to expect that this range, if we go in and put in new contract highs on beans, we're going to go back up into that into that middle range on the December corn again. So I think from $7 back up to the 790 area wouldn't be a big surprise, you know, but just basically a range-bound area, not anything big breakout until we get into next month's report and we actually get more data, unless it gets hot.
About 30.
If it turns hot, that's different.
Yeah. 30, 35 seconds left. Talk a little bit about the wheat. What did you see out of the numbers there?
Well, I think you've got to look at it and say on the surface the wheat numbers look bearish, but I think wheat is trying very much to put a bottom in, and the reality is you don't clear up such a huge world shortage in 1 year's crop, and we don't have anything in terms of a sterling crop. On the U.S. side, we've got a good crop. What is out there in the world still remains to be seen.
So the calls for this morning then?
Well, I'd have to say I'm mixed on the corn. You know, overnight last night we were up, but I would think that we probably see some pressure coming in, especially after having been down all week and then perhaps a bounce back. Beans are going to start probably up, and I would say wheat's going to start down.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois. We're on the web 24/7 with analysis at WILOAG.org.